Grace and peace as we gather together this morning in Jesus' name with those words ringing in our ears. What a text, huh? And so it seemed like a perfect morning to talk about basketball, right? How many of you have been watching basketball the last weekend or a few days? Yeah. I could only watch one of those games last night. I was a little disappointed, and then I know the last one was also a really good one and a close one. I've always thought it would be brave of me to use basketball, or actually any athletic sport, as an illustration in a sermon, but here we go, folks. You got to be here when it happened. Two things about this text that I want to lift up in our conversation. Most importantly, the games, the way we talk about basketball in a little bit, gives us an analogy. It's just an analogy. There could be other illustrations we would think of. This one seems to be right there in front of us. But it tells or could give you an insight into an important part about our Christian life and how we live our faith in life. Secondly, like I said, I now have two adult sons who love basketball. And I just wanted to be able to say, I did it one time. I talked about basketball like I knew something. It's never too late to get points with your kids as a parent, right? So, first of all, a few disclaimers. It's not like there's a special place in heaven for any athlete, any sport-affiliated individual. It's not that playing sports lifts you to a higher level. In God's eyes, it is that in the context of learning and executing the game, there is a way to think about how God works with us, how God loves the world, how God empowers us in our role as followers. And so this quote, which happens to be from Phil Jackson, who, by the way, was a fellow alum of my alma mater, UND. That stands for North Dakota, not Notre Dame, in case you were thinking. Yeah. Well, he was a famous ball player in our era, and he also went on to be a coach, I understand, in the NBA. Once he said this, "What moves me in watching young people bond together and tap into the magic that arises when they focus with their whole heart and soul on something greater than themselves. Once you've experienced that, it's something you never forget." Watching these teams, at whether it's been a high school or a college or professional level, or whether you, like me, get a chance every now and then to sit on a hard bleacher and cheer on your little person as they learn the basics and begin to experience ball play, you don't know how that's all going to turn out. You don't know if you're watching a little Phil Jackson or Caitlin Clark in the making. You don't know what those skills will turn into or what will become the passion of that individual. Once you've experienced what it is to find some magic in what you're doing, to paraphrase Jackson, it's something you never forget. The text reminds us to, Mark talks about it in the gospel, be awake, be alert. You do not know when the end will come. Mark says it, so to be awake to the idea that at any time, Jesus may return and the world may end. But also, balancing two things, it's a thing Lutherans do all the time, always with the two things. Also, continue doing what you are called to do as a follower of Jesus, serving those who are in need, helping those who are in trouble, reaching out to those who are in the margins of the world. So on a basketball court or in a game, you need to keep playing your position. This is how I would talk about holding those two things in tension with this basketball analogy. You need to keep thinking about the whole team, watching for who's open, watching for who's moving into what position, where is the ball That's always a good thing to know. And all the other things. You must keep your eyes on the prize that is represented in basketball by a score. It's not always represented that way in life, right? But in this analogy, it's represented by a score, which represents kind of that big picture. Where are we at in the whole of the game? Now we also need to think about where we're at in the minute, in the movement, in the play that's going on right now, holding the two things in balance. And in this analogy, of course, you always have to be running. You always are running on the basketball court. You're always sweating on the basketball court. They're cleaning up the floor because it's wet, because you're working, putting your whole self in. It's kind of messy. And yet, when you see the arc of the three-pointer, and it swishes in, yeah, that's a moment that person and probably their team is going to soon forget. Always watch the clock, always sweat it out, always try to hear the coach in this analogy, the coach over the crowd. And by the way, you're supposed to be trying to have fun. Because what's the last thing your mom said to you before you went to practice? Have fun. She didn't say what she was thinking. Don't get hurt. Play nice. Now, doesn't this all sound just a little bit like an analogy of life itself? Can you not see some of those parallels? Mark's text wants us to be mindful in our lives, to be alert, to keep up with the moment, but always watch the clock, run the race, be ready. Time will inevitably run out, right down to the tenth of a second. Yet right now, we are to focus on something greater than ourselves, an experience we will never forget. Life, relationships with others, doing meaningful work, church talk, doing mission together, awareness that this isn't going to last forever, never sure how much time would remain, only that God calls us to be faithful in the time we have. And God promises us a home in heaven for eternity, all said and done. Well, part of me thinks I should just say amen now, right? And then sit down. No, don't get excited. I'm not doing that. Part of me hopes that the analogy sticks with you through the coming week, where surely there are more opportunities to watch basketball. Not only because of that, games to watch, but because it may highlight your own life experience. It may kind of run true to something you are doing right now or that's happening in those you love and around you. Preachers always want you to have something to take home, something to hold in your heart and kind of chew on or be reminded of through the coming days, something to feed your soul and give energy and renewal of a sense of purpose to daily life, a way of seeing God alive and at work in you, as well as in the world around you, always with the two things in balance. So at the risk, already run this risk, of carrying this analogy way too far, I want to try this on with you. We come together in worship like a timeout for the team on the court. Timeouts are limited in number in any given game. Timeouts are well-timed as to when they're taken, and they're planned for what would I say, how shall we do, use these few moments, what we have together, what do we need to talk about, what do we need to hear as players from coach, from each other. You watch those timeouts, and there's certainly a level of exhaustion and a moment to take a breath. And I think about faces coming into a sanctuary at a designated time, for a designated time, to hear the word of God And what might it help me with as I go back out on that court of life and continue to look for my position and my opportunity and use my gifts to the best of my ability? And, oh yeah, there's a time clock and a scoreboard and other people. So much that we come together in this moment to be reminded of whose we are, what team we're on, who has led us to this moment and will see us through. Do you ever notice in timeouts how many of them end with something like the show team allegiance here, but 1, 2, 3, Warriors, and then they boom, and they burst out back onto the court in life. Wouldn't that be something if we did that at worship sometime? 1, 2, 3, peace, and we ran out into the world, right? Renewed and refreshed, and people were calling authorities and having, yeah, investigations. It would be very unusual. But the image stays with me. We're encouraged, we're reminded of our gifts and our goals and our purpose, and then we re-enter that fray, sometimes called a rat race, maybe the big game. We return to our daily life, and we find sustenance, even daily, returning to those words of God, finding sustenance in the communion of faith around us and the people who lift us up, or in what we see of God's creation and presence. The Lenten season is winding down, as Pastor Paul mentioned, and next Sunday, we kind of conclude all of the prep time of Lent, and we enter a holy walk, holy week, and we journey from that entrance with palms to the story of what happened to Jesus in the last days of his earthly life. No spoilers here, but I mean, it ends at Good Friday when he dies on the cross, and we come back in 2 weeks from this morning, and it's all celebration that he's come back. Jesus lives again, lives still in us. We know that today, but we walk this walk in order to be reminded of the great joy that really dwells in us, even in the midst of sorrow and loss, even in the midst of the struggle and the sweat and the work that life can be. We've heard texts through the last few weeks of Lent about the last being first, about the healing power of God over all things, about whose image we are created in and who we resemble, about love being the greatest commandment. And now on this last of these lessons in this journey, an exhortation to be on watch and alert, for there will be a time when the end comes. But in the meantime, keep living the life you have been given as a disciple of Jesus. Keep serving, keep showing compassion, keep sharing who it is that gives our lives purpose and meaning, that makes sense of all that we are engaged with and that comes upon us in the world, that it all starts and ends in our heart with Jesus. We hear today's text in the context of all the seasonal lessons before this. Just like a team comes to a tournament with a whole season behind them of highs and lows and patterns and new tricks or plays or efforts, they come with that history. We come next week to Palm Sunday and Holy Week with that history as well. And then we hear the story. Like a well-tuned team, we remember the ultimate goal is to live lives as disciples of the one who gives life in the first place, who gives forgiveness at baptism, who gives gifts to use that the world might be saved. We remember the importance of serving and of caring and of outreach, even as we register that there is a time clock. Time is passing, and none of this is going to last forever. But when the end comes, for us, for anyone else, for all things, two things are clear. We know that where we are going, along with all the believers, to a heavenly home, we know that, and that's been secured by God in our baptism. And the other thing we know is there is still time on that clock for more great shots at making Christ known in the world and in our own household, and taking in that word of peace and forgiveness and renewal for us. The blood of Christ shed for you. Body of Christ given for you. Take it in. Receive it. Let it work, that your life may be enriched. We'll jump to another analogy, and you'll see why. Do you remember Hamilton, the musical? Maybe not the person, but it was about a person from ancient time in our country's history. But it was really famous when it first came out. It's not exactly songs, it's more rap. And one of the key songs of the whole show, you know this, about taking my best shot. I don't think Hamilton played basketball, but let me use that song and those lyrics to lift something up. In giving that rap and those words, he lifts up the importance of seizing a moment, of taking a risk, of putting our gifts out there in the name of Jesus and seeing where it might all go. Well, Hamilton wasn't singing about Jesus, but don't miss that point, that we too are on the brink of taking our very best shot every day, making our best efforts in our lives as disciples, not throwing away our chances to truly make a difference through our words or our actions, our prayers or our resources, not throwing away our lives of service and mission, our alertness to the clock, our mindfulness of all we've been given by God in order that we may share God's love and grace with the whole world. One of our church's theologians said it this way, Elizabeth Johnson: we watch and wait not because our salvation depends on it. That is securely in God's hands. We watch and wait because Jesus has given us a mission, because he calls us to participate here and now in the new creation that he is ushering in. Like the coaches who are interviewed at the end of the game often say, we just take one game at a time. Because it takes about a nanosecond, right, to move from you just won to how are you feeling about the next game and what is your strategy against such and such. Huh. We take one game at a time. There's a wisdom for us as disciples in that as well. One day, mission, service, at a time. So whether it's a ball game or a Broadway musical, we see signs all around us reminding us of the call of Jesus to be followers, to be disciples, one day at a time, to be the people of faith that God gifted us to be in our baptism, playing with a team of believers, doing our very best, letting go of all the rest, dripping wet with the waters of baptism, running towards our neighbors, running towards those who are outsiders, running towards the stranger, running towards our heavenly home, taking our best shot. Amen.